It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Walking into Clavon's Ice Cream Parlor in the Strip District is like stepping back in time. Candy is displayed in glass cases. A marble counter soda fountain is directly across from phone booths. And antique light fixtures harken back to another era. On this particular evening, Clavon's is marking the 150th anniversary of the Penn State Creamery with a special ice cream event for Penn State alumni. At the event, Essential Pittsburgh spoke with Penn State Creamery manager Tom Palchak about the history of the creamery.
The Penn State Creamery has been on the University Park campus of Penn State since 1865. The origins are very humble. At that time, they were only churning amounts of butter and making some cheddar cheese. And then they would deliver these two products to the students residing in dormitory lofts above the old main administration building. And then as the dairy industry in the United States and in Pennsylvania began to really flourish and expand, the university saw this as an opportunity to provide continuing education to this nurturing industry. And to this day, the state of Pennsylvania still produces about 12 billion pounds of milk annually. Throughout this time, the creamery offered instruction in the short courses and workshops at the university. The College of Ag Sciences began to hire more and more professors whose specialty and expertise was in the dairy industry, dairy processing, dairy production, dairy manufacturing, and this continues to hold to this present day. The ice cream that most Americans enjoy, and in terms of flavor and body and texture, and its creaminess, its shelf life, its safety, in large part were due to pioneering dairy professors such as Dr. Chester Dahl, Dr. Philip Keeney, Dr. Paul Dimmock, Dr. Edward Glass. And it continues on to this day in the new Department of Food Science building, was where the creamery is housed.
In addition to looking back on the history of the Penn State Creamery, Tom explained how it will be celebrating its 150th anniversary, which it is commemorating this year.
We are celebrating in a variety of ways, such as me being here at Clavon's Ice Cream. We're promoting it through a concept through Penn State called Research on the Road, and whereas we would go to visit areas of the country and talk about the creamery's history and what it means to the dairy industry today. We also are having a flavor naming contest for birthday cake ice cream. We are providing passports with 50 flavors that you can purchase at the creamery and then have a stamp made, sort of as a keepsake and as a piece of memorabilia. There's going to be significant events at some of the football games this fall. I really can't go into some of that detail. The print media at Penn State, such as the Penn Stater Magazine, and the electronic media, such as through the College of Agricultural Sciences, are continuing throughout the year with pieces of history and facts about the creamery throughout its history and about employees who've worked there and who are working there and about how its contribution in the community as well, in addition to Penn State, has been steadfast since 1855. There are just dozens of events that are taking place.
You'd be hard-pressed to name more famous figures in the ice cream business than Ben and Jerry, and you might be surprised to learn that they have a connection to the creamery.
The correspondence course in ice cream manufacturing was taken by both Ben Cohn, Jerry Greenfield, I think 1969, and they each pitched in $2.50 for a correspondence course by mail. And then in 1974, Ben Cohn came to Penn State and enrolled in the two-week ice cream short course. When he returned and they refurbished a small gas station, their business really took off, and they were credited, and they should be credited, with the explosion of flavors that soon followed their outward thinking as far as what the consumer really wants. Yes, they want vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry, but chocolate chip cookie dough sounds pretty good too, and Chubby Hubby, and a host of other myriads of flavors that they've offered. The industry followed suit, and now there is really no limit on what flavor can go into ice cream. Just the other day, I had a mango basil ice cream, and it was delicious.
Tom explained that in spite of the flourishing of flavors pioneered by Ben & Jerry's and other manufacturers, the most popular ice cream flavor in America remains an old classic.
At Penn State and nationwide, it is still vanilla ice cream. It accounts for about 29% of all sales throughout the United States.
But for those who want a cone with something a bit more interesting than the classic vanilla, the Creamery offers many different flavors. And Tom said that they have recipes in stock for even more.
We offer at any one time between 25 and 30 flavors of ice cream, although in our recipe files we have about 150. And this is in ice cream, no sugar added ice cream, frozen yogurt, and in sherbet flavors.
We thank Tom Palchak for explaining the history and significance of the Penn State Creamery. Our visit to Clavon's Ice Cream included a talk with co-owner Jacob Hanchar, who told us about the parlor's history.
Clavon's is from an era where the Art Deco of the 1920s, the swinging 20s, where everyone was happy and having a good time. And that's the idea that we're trying to represent here. It was a time capsule then reopened, and the magic of which, when you come in and have an ice cream, you're also experiencing an era where things were simpler and there was more, let's say, a sense of freedom. And that's what people do. They come here to escape and also to indulge in a delicious ice cream and remember a time they not only want to think of as a part of American history, but part of themselves as well.
Jacob isn't the original owner of Clavon's. He acquired the business in 2011 and decided to forge a relationship with the Penn State Creamery.
Buying this, I'll blame it on my wife. She wanted to buy this place because our children fell in love with it back in, I'd say, 2011. And that summer, we found this place. And when Ray Clavon passed away, the family was selling it, we put in our bid. So she was adamant that we had to buy this, and I liked the idea too. So when we did, we struck a deal. And after that, we worked with the Clavon's family. Jamie Clavon, Ray's niece, helped us sort of transition the company. And while we were doing it, we were thinking, what would add to this place to make it interesting? We have the current ice cream we're using, but let's punch it up a little bit. What would give it that extra twist? So I'm a Penn State alum, and everybody worships the Creamery as far as the quality. And again, this idea that when you taste the Creamery ice cream, you think of the good times you had at Penn State, and oh, wouldn't it be great to go back? So I thought, okay, let's take this idea of the 1920s plus Penn State ice cream, and we have a perfect combination. So we started doing that about 2 years ago, and that's what's led to serving Penn State ice cream today.
For years, Clavon's was known for its custom whipped creams featuring such flavors as amaretto, and we asked if they're still a part of the Clavon's tradition.
Absolutely, and we've even expanded that. So the famous whipped creams were, let's say, the chocolate whipped cream, several other flavors. We have added mint, we've added pumpkin, caramel, you name it. Any type of flavor that's out there, whether it be just simple vanilla or something really exotic like mango, we're making those types of whipped creams and offering them as toppings for Penn State. The other idea is that we're blending Penn State flavors together, which if you go to the Creamery, you can only get one scoop of an ice cream cone at a time. Here you can indulge in the idea of mixing several flavors together.
National Ice Cream Day is this Sunday, July 19th. Jacob reveals Clavon's plans to celebrate the event.
So we're launching our new ice cream flavor. So out of necessity, we have to start making our own vanilla and chocolate. We just sell out of them way too fast. I can't keep it stocked fast enough from the Creamery. So we're starting with those two. And then we've had a drawing for anyone who had submitted a Twitter request for a particular flavor. I'm going to keep that secret. I'll announce that at the end of the day as to who won and what flavor that is. And that will be our third flavor. There are other flavors we have in store too that we're going to try to bring the best of Pittsburgh. For example, Pittsburgh popcorn ice cream flavor, or an Enrico Biscotti flavor, or several other businesses in the strip. I'm hoping they'll partner with me and offer their flavor so we can represent that in our ice cream.
That was Jacob Hanchar, co-owner of Clavon's Ice Cream Parlor in the Strip District. And while we're in this part of town, did you know that at one time it literally rained bananas in the Strip District? Margaret J. Krause reports on the 1936 Pittsburgh Banana Company explosion.
We was early in the morning. The gentleman had gone in, I guess, to tend to his daily chores. There was a massive explosion, and he said all he remembers was a boom and, you know, being tossed about 50 feet.
Darris Jeffcoat is the historian at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located 21st and Smallman Streets in the Strip District.
Well, thankfully, truly, no one was injured.
At 2 a.m. on December 17, 1936, Pittsburgh Banana Company employee Peter Aletta reported for work. He turned on the lights in the gas-heated banana ripening room and then switched on an electric fan to circulate the air. Reports say a spark from the fan caused the accumulated gas to combust. It rained bananas.
The gas explosion was enough to literally blow out that entire wing of the building. 54 windows in the St. Stanislaus School had been blown out. For blocks around, other windows, you know, shattered, debris strewn everywhere.
The explosion was so loud, the fire department didn't even wait for a call. They just went looking for the source of the sound. They found Smallman Street covered in shards of glass and littered with rubble. St. Stan's two towers crooked at their tops. And Peter Aletta, he was alive, but buried up to his neck in brick and banana.
It was probably a pretty harrowing day for everyone involved.
Yes, of course, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
Yeah, this is presumably like a model banana ripening.
I'm John Solari, associate professor in the Department of History at Carnegie Mellon University. I also direct the Global Studies Program.
John Solari has studied the rise of the banana as the everyman's fruit in the United States and the effects of that demand on Central and South American countries.
By the early 20th century, bananas had really ceased to be a novelty. By 1914, every person was eating as many as 22 pounds of bananas a year.
What enabled the banana to become the poor man's luxury is precisely what caused the Pittsburgh Banana Company to explode: controlled ripening.
The ripening room is important because the companies determined that ideally, to control the ripening rate, you'd want to keep them at a certain temperature, basically around 60 degrees.
To ensure consistent delivery of perfectly ripe bananas, Pittsburgh Banana Company and other wholesalers built thick-walled rooms that were heated by gas in winter and cooled in summer.
That big parking lot is where the school building
neither
sat.
Neither St. Stanislaus School nor the Pittsburgh Banana Company still exist. But it certainly isn't for lack of trying. The explosion occurred on Thursday morning, and by Monday, students were back at school, their windows replaced by a cement block. The Pennsylvania Railroad, the building's owner, started to rebuild and expand the following week.
The Strip District, I guess it was kind of that fatalism. When you live intimately with an industrial setting, you have to prepare for those inevitable things to happen. Tenement housing, gang rivalry, drugs, drinking, gambling, other explosions happened. So it was a brutal environment.
That's why St. Stanislaus was in the path of the blast wave anyway.
The churches did provide that kind of comfort and oasis in a harsh and difficult world. That reminder of home, but that testament to the faith that despite all these travails, tribulations, that the faith would sustain them.
St. Stan's front door still opens into the heart of the Strip District, catty-corner to the produce terminal building. You can easily find bananas in that part of town, for sale, instead of lying in the street.
Bananas raining out of the air, it is humorous. It did literally rain bananas in the Strip District.
For 90.5 WESA Celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh, I'm Margaret J. Krause.
90.5 WESA Celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh is supported by UPMC. Ask your Pittsburgh history question and find more stories online at wesa.fm/inventingpittsburgh. UPMC, life-changing medicine.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Up and down Carson Street on the city's south side, you'll find a number of bars offering happy hours. However, every Wednesday from 4 to 6, you'll discover the Milkshake Factory offering a new twist on the happy hour. Here among the marble countertops, mirrored display cases featuring hand-dipped chocolates, and of course the ice cream, we're joined by Chris Edwards, who is the owner of the Milkshake Factory. Chris Edwards, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy you guys are here.
Every Wednesday afternoon, the Milkshake Factory offers the Milkshake Happy Hour. How did you come up with the idea for this?
Well, my brother and sister and I created the milkshake factory a few years ago, and it's become this wonderful thing for the city of Pittsburgh. I feel like there's people come from all over the city, and that was in part due to the milkshake happy hour. We knew that we wanted to create a spin on the traditional happy hour, and we don't serve alcohol here at the milkshake factory, so we wanted to do it our way. And of course, National Ice Cream Day is coming up, one of our favorite holidays in our family of the year. So we really wanted to create a special event for people in the city of Pittsburgh, especially in the South Side. And we created the Milkshake Happy Hour. We offer half-price shakes every Wednesday from 4 to 6.
I understand that the Milkshake Factory started as a college project.
That's right. My sister, Dana Edwards, who my brother and I never give enough credit to, came up with this concept as a school project. And she decided milkshakes and chocolate and ice cream and chocolate have been such a big part of our family for so many years. We all love milkshakes, but she really said, let's take this to the next level and let's figure out how to create multiple flavors and what we can do. And she did this whole project when she was in college. And we came back here and we implemented it and we opened up an ice cream. We had an ice cream case. We installed that. And we had no idea at the time how popular it would become. And really, our first big following was something that we created was the Milkshake Happy Hour, because we're in a college town here and we're among Duquesne and Pitt University students and CMU, and it created this big following among college students, and they were our first big base. After we created the Milkshake Happy Hour, they would come in here, and it was the college students who really made this popular.
How long have you guys been here?
So we have been in this location. It's our family business. We've been here since 1975, is when my grandparents moved into this space as a chocolate shop. In the last 10 years or so, we started to offer a greater selection, and we wanted to add ice cream to our selection of chocolates. And then it just kind of evolved over time, and we fully transitioned to the Milkshake Factory a few years ago. And it's become a great retail location that we love being here in the South Side for these folks. And in the future, we would be able to have the option of opening up in other cities as well.
Ice cream is ubiquitous, but milkshakes, you'd have to go back to what, the 50s and 60s, when milkshakes were really in their heyday, and then it became sort of a fast food thing. So do you see yourself as filling a void for people that really enjoy a good old-fashioned milkshake?
I think milkshakes aren't just a trend for now. They've been around for years, as you have mentioned, from the 50s and 60s, but even going back farther, we have pictures of my great-grandfather in his chocolate and ice cream shop making milkshakes, and a great old-fashioned hand-spun shake doesn't really exist in many places, and I think that's what's special here about the Milkshake Factory. We actually make our milkshakes with homemade syrups, and that adds that extra burst of flavor, and it's on trend right now. People are really excited about it, and it's just an all-American dessert that people really love.
And when it comes to the Milkshake Happy Hour, people obviously love getting something they really enjoy for half the price than they normally would pay. But are there other things that you're doing to keep the whole idea fresh and keep it exciting for people?
Yeah, I think the exciting thing about the Milkshake Factory is the wide selection that we offer of flavors. I mean, there's 55 flavors of milkshakes. We have probably another 30 specialty shakes that we carry throughout the year. So really, and you can come here and make any shake you want. I mean, people add red velvet and Oreo and do all different kinds of their favorite different ice creams they put together and make their favorite milkshakes. And I think that's really special too, that you can really create your own. And all year round, we're able to provide many different flavors and many different shakes for different holidays and different seasons.
So if I wanted to have a cinnamon lemon milkshake, you could do that for me?
You can absolutely do that here at the Milkshake Factory. We can make you whatever you'd like. I'm not going to say that's going to be any good, but we will definitely try to make you exactly what you want here at the Milkshake Factory.
We're talking with Chris Edwards. He's owner of the Milkshake Factory here on Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The place that you have here, the specialty is milkshakes, but it's also handmade chocolates. And one of the interesting things about it is that you make these chocolates here in Pittsburgh. You have a place in Lawrenceville where you do this. Describe how it's done.
Yeah, so we have been in the chocolate business for 101 years. My family started this many, many years ago with my great-grandfather and grandmother. We have all these chocolates are handmade in two locations here in Pittsburgh. My grandfather's factory is out in Trafford, outside of Monroeville, and that's where most of these handmade chocolates are done. We mix all the caramel by hand there. It pays homage to our history and what we've been able to do. And most recently, we created a new product called Snappers. And my brother and sister and I created Snappers a year ago to provide a gourmet sweet snack that we took to the mass market and took to big retailers. And we now, we also sell that here at the Milkshake Factory, but we make that facilities down in Lawrenceville, as you mentioned, and that's a new factory that we just built down in Lawrenceville on 38th Street.
So this is a departure from, you know, what you'd buy in a store. I mean, because you can go into a lot of places and buy a chocolate bar or, you know, pieces of chocolate, but you're going to get that with all sorts of extraneous ingredients that you may not want. Mm-hmm. So how much is that a selling point of what you're making here?
The quality is something that we pride ourselves on. I mean, the quality of our chocolates, the quality of the handmade confections, and that's why Snappers have become such a success recently, and that's why when you come here to the Milkshake Factory, you see all the delicious handmade barks. That's the first thing. You see the hand-dipped pretzels, the peanut butter. In-house, we do a lot of items, not just off-site in Trafford, but we fresh-dip strawberries, and one of our most popular is the fresh-dip bacon.
So are there any secret family recipes?
Absolutely. We're known for having the best caramel around, and that's why we started Snappers with caramel. We kind of took our great-grandparents' recipe, and we've stuck with that exact same recipe over the years. I would say caramel, our peanut butter. This is our own proprietary chocolate recipe as well. We create our own blend of chocolate. We also, on the Snappers, we create our own pretzels, caramel, and chocolate. So it's a really great combination. We have many proprietary recipes that are just to our family, and a lot of good secret ingredients that you'll find here at the Milkshake Factory as well.
So let's go back to milkshakes. What are the most popular flavors of milkshakes that you sell here? Do you keep tabs on that?
Absolutely. We definitely keep tabs on what are the more popular shakes. I would say our chocolate shakes, of our chocolate, anything with peanut butter really sells. We have the specialty shakes sell really well. Right now, this month, we have the cookie bark shake. It's with Nutter Butters and Oreos, and we stuff any cookie you can find, Nilla wafers in there, and that has been selling like crazy this summer. It's been really popular. And for next month, National S'mores Day is in the month of August, so we will definitely see our campfire s'more shake will come back, and that will be an incredible shake to get for that for the month of August.
So you like strike up a fire and, you know, melt the chocolate and heat up the marshmallows and everything?
I wish we could have an open fire in here, but we definitely have really great flavors with our own marshmallow and our own graham crackers. And it's nice. You can incorporate. And we do a little bit of everything. You can mix anything into a milkshake and it tastes good.
So you're always in this business trying to stay ahead of the curve. So what's the next big thing for the Milkshake Factory?
Well, the next big thing for the Milkshake Factory is we will consistently introduce the best new milkshakes for the people here, for our customers. But we definitely will be looking into other locations here in the city of Pittsburgh. We're looking to possibly expand in the city. We have nothing to announce yet, but we'll definitely make that announcement when the time's right. And hopefully very soon we'll see another location here pop up in the city.
You know, the South Side's so trendy. What would be the other locations that you might look at?
Well, we've looked into a few locations in Oakland. We've looked into a few locations, in downtown, and there's definitely, you know, even around the city in the North Hills, all the way up in Cranberry. I think there's a lot of good neighborhoods that the Milkshake Factory would do really well in. I think people come from all over the city as it now, and that's kind of what makes it so great as well. I mean, there's one location right now. People can come from all over the city and treat their families to a weekend trip or something when they're coming into the city for a ball game. They stop by the Milkshake Factory and get a milkshake, you know, before or after the game.
Hey, you know what, Chris? There might be some space opening up in a building on Smithfield Street that you might want to look into.
And what building would that be?
That I think it's the little known obscure department store chain, Macy's maybe?
Macy's, you know, we could, you never know. We could look into, we'll see what options there are, but the downtown area is a great area to consider.
All right. Well, wherever you go, we'll know where to find you, certainly on the South Side. We've been talking with Chris Edwards. He's owner of the Milkshake Factory. Chris, thanks so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
For even more information on ice cream in Pittsburgh, check out the WESA Social Club podcast with Josh Rollerson and Rachel Carlson talking with local ice cream specialists. Coming up, our celebration of ice cream in Pittsburgh continues. We'll venture up Carson Street to discover what keeps people lining up for ice cream at Page's Dairy Mart.
I think our customer base comes from families coming down here as kids, and they just continue to bring family members down here, and it just builds and builds, and we have a pretty loyal customer base. I think they like the originality of what we offer here.
Later in the program, find out what makes Dave and Andy's in Oakland unique.
We make everything here. Birthday cake is one of our big sellers. Cookie dough's another big one. Everything's from scratch. Make a lot of different flavors that you're not going to see too many places.
That's when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.